Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And we're off and running this Friday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad you're with us. Busy show, as always, to wrap up the week. We've got some guests that are with us each week. Some regular folks stop by. We've also got the July recruiting period. It's beginning to wind down. Friday, a big day. Saturday, and about half a Sunday, all that remains for Division I coaches to get out and watch some of these prospects that we talk a lot about. Archie Miller yesterday in Fort Wayne, may have been other places as well. Definitely know he spent some time in Fort Wayne, as expected, to watch the Indy Heat team with a number of prospects, including Trace Jackson Davis, Keon Brooks injured, but there for the game. So continuing to see IU coaches cover a lot of ground. Vegas and Orlando have been other spots that either Archie or his assistants have been at. And again, lots of contact will be made in the future months once this period comes to a close. We'll see if some of these new faces, younger faces maybe, that Indiana is beginning to get involved with, make a visit to IU for the football season or later this fall for Hoosier Hysteria. So interesting stuff going on. Always fun to track, as I say, each day during July, where some of these players are at, where the coaches are at, who they are prioritizing, and that period is beginning to come to a close. Let's look at the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. I'll have some news and headlines of the day coming up here in a moment in this first segment presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Later in the show, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, always a regular Friday stalwart with me on the program. He will join us to talk IU basketball. We'll dip into recruiting. We'll talk some other things as well about the team for the upcoming season. And later in the show, Kyle Dedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, he drops by. Of course, a little more recruiting with him. We'll talk a little high school football. We'll talk some other things looking ahead here in Indiana as well. So stay with us for that. The guest lineup each day, it's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. The headlines are presented each day by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. And again, I mentioned Archie Miller. He was courtside up at Spiess Fieldhouse in Fort Wayne, which was host of the Gym Rats National Tournament. Not one of the bigger events, to be quite honest with you, as far as this third window of evaluation play goes, but a lot of Indiana teams, a lot of Midwestern teams, a lot of teams from that Spiess Indy Heat family of teams, and it's kind of after a very aggressive month for the team. Trace and Keon and others play on. I think Armand Franklin of Cathedral is even playing with him this week as well, but it's kind of a way to relax maybe in your final period. The coaches that really want to see you will be there. There'll be a lot of the mid-major guys there, obviously from Indiana and the Midwest, but that's where Archie Miller was yesterday, watching a number of prospects, in addition to Trace and Keon Brooks, who, again, is still injured and not playing. Caleb First, he's a good young player that we've talked about on the program before. He is actually from Fort Wayne. I know he is playing at that tournament. Jalen Blackman, James Blackman Jr.'s youngest brother, he is playing at that tournament as well. So a number of players there for Coach Miller to see. That's where he was for a good portion of yesterday as well. I know Indiana coaches were spotted out in Las Vegas at the Las Vegas Summer Showcase, watching that D1 Minnesota team. They took on Hoop City Elite, which is who Trendon Watford is playing for. Also Kyra Lewis, another name that's been associated with Indiana. Of course, D1 Minnesota has Matt Hurt. He's a big-time prospect that Indiana has been following, somebody that is ranked very highly. IU coaches there, not Archie Miller, but IU assistant coaches there for that game. They have been very active, especially Tom Ostrom, one of the Indiana assistants with that D1 Minnesota team and program. Race Thompson came from that program, you may remember, and also that is where Ostrom is from, that part of the country, very well connected in Minnesota, so makes sense that he likely takes the lead on a lot of guys, and that's been a really successful program. You don't always think of Minnesota as a big basketball state, but a number of players have come out of that state. Yesterday, another video, social media video, they call them video blog, put out by Indiana Basketball. And I've had a couple people say, Matt, I've heard you and some of your guests talk so much about the improved social media of IU basketball. I really don't get it. I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on Facebook, or I'm not into all that stuff. Where can I watch them at? The easiest thing to do is twitter.com/IndianaMBB for men's basketball, IndianaMBB. And that's where they put all this stuff up at. And yesterday was behind-the-scenes photo day. Had a Q&A with a couple players, including Deron Davis and Juwan Morgan. And they had a guest star, which was pretty interesting, guest appearance from Indiana Baseball's new director of player development, Scott Rowland. Of course, a great high school baseball and basketball player out of Jasper, Indiana. So kind of informative, lot funny, very interesting to see what they continue to do in the offseason to provide some content out there. I know fans absolutely love it. I was looking at it this morning, number of retweets, number of likes, lots of comments. This is the kind of stuff that a rabid fan base, which is what Indiana has, there's no question about it. In good years and in bad years, in great coaches and in questionable coaches, Indiana fans, even in the offseason, want to follow every step of the way. And these productions, we'll call them, that the IU marketing people, IU social media people, whoever's doing it, keeping everybody on their toes this summer, paying attention to what is going on. Good news if you're wanting to watch some of this Vegas basketball that we've been talking about this week, where a lot of IU coaches have been but aren't in the area and can't afford a quick trip to Vegas to start your weekend. A couple Indiana prospects today will play on television. One is James Booknight of the PSA Cardinals, a Nike team. He got a scholarship offer earlier this week, and earlier in July had some huge games that kind of really brought some attention to him. Anthony Harris, he will be playing as well. Team Takeover, they are the semifinals of a tournament, a small tournament called The Eight out in Las Vegas, and those games start at 4:30 Eastern time today, 1:30 obviously Pacific time on ESPNU. Ted Emmerich will have the call, who's been on the program before. So if you want to check in with what's going on in Vegas and get a chance to see at least a couple prospects that Indiana will likely be at those games watching that are on television in some form or fashion, whether it be Archie Miller or one of the assistants, you can tune in at 4:30 today on ESPNU for that. Little League roundup from last night. Tough loss for the New Albany 12-year-old Major Division All-Star team, but it was a crazy game. Evansville Highland, very strong Little League out of Evansville. They've had a great year, a great tournament here at the state tournament all week in Indianapolis. Of course, we just arrived in Indianapolis on Thursday after following the 10-year-old New Albany team to the championship up in Fort Wayne. It was our first game, a semifinal in the winner's bracket yesterday. New Albany falls 6-5 in 9 complete innings. And keep in mind that a Little League game at that level is 6 innings. So there were 3 extra innings of baseball played. It was a back-and-forth game. Actually, New Albany jumped on Highland early. They took a 1-0 lead in the first. They extended that lead to 4-0 in the second. It was 5-0 heading into the bottom of the third. That's when Highland answered back with 4 runs in that inning, then another run in the bottom of the fourth, to take the lead or to tie it up. And then from there, they got the winning run in the bottom of the ninth to win it. But no question, these two teams likely could meet again later today. So what happens is, since neither New Albany or Evansville Highland had lost, they were in the top side of the bracket in the winner's bracket semifinal. New Albany lost 6-5 yesterday, so New Albany isn't eliminated. They dropped to the bottom of the bracket. They've got to play Munster, who played Terre Haute North yesterday and defeated them in another semifinal game, and while Highland waits at 8 o'clock for the championship. So New Albany has some work cut out for them. They've got to beat Munster, who I understand has been solid this week at the 12-year-old tournament, at 5 o'clock. They've got to still preserve enough pitching so they can be competitive and have what they need on the mound for an 8 o'clock championship game against Evansville Highland, and we'll have both of those games, one of those games, whatever the situation is tonight here on the Big X, starting at 5 o'clock with that New Albany-Munster semifinal game. If New Albany wins that, they'll be right back at it at 8 o'clock in a rematch against Evansville Highland. Highland had to throw a couple pitchers yesterday that will be expired for today. If you followed our coverage, you're probably well aware of the pitch counts. New Albany did a little different pitching yesterday to keep some players available for today in case they did lose, which is, ended up being the final result by a run. So New Albany has some pitching. Not sure exactly what Evansville Highland has. If those two meet up again, very likely could be a great state champion game. And keep in mind, this is that division where you go to Williamsport. So if whoever wins at 8 o'clock tonight, no matter what two teams square off, no matter who faces Evansville Highland, I should say the winner no longer will be New Albany or Munster or Evansville Highland. They'll be Indiana, and they'll go to the regional tournament that'll be played in Indianapolis. Some of those games will be on the ESPN family of networks. And if you win that regional, you're off to Williamsport, Pennsylvania to represent the Great Lakes. And, of course, you know what a big scene Williamsport, Pennsylvania is. So that will be interesting, no question about that, to see if New Albany can make a battle out of things coming up here later tonight. We'll be on the air about 4:55 from Decatur Little League on the southwest side of Indianapolis. If New Albany wins, we'll be back a little before 8 o'clock with another state championship game here on the Big X Sports Radio. Looking at the calendar this morning, thinking ahead about our high school football coverage on the Big X, we are 3 weeks away from today, from the start of the 2018 high school football season. Some big games in that opening night. New Albany plays at Providence. That's always a big rivalry game. I get a sense from talking with coaches and others that both programs, New Albany and Providence, expecting really solid seasons this year. Also, Jeffersonville, they open down at Pulaski County, playing in the that bowl down there. They'll play a single game on Friday. Floyd Central will play Mayo from Louisville. A lot of good games to open up the week that'll tell us a lot about our high school football teams. And don't forget, coming up on Wednesday, August 8th, it's the Zaxby's High School Football Kickoff Show. We will be out at Zaxby's in New Albany for 2 hours, interviewing every coach in Clark and Floyd County, and a lot of the top players will join us as well as we officially kick off the high school football season. 3 weeks away from kickoff of regular season play, I said that, but 2 weeks away today, we'll have a lot of scrimmages taking place across the area. So school beginning to get back in session at a number of area schools. More will go in next week, more the following week, and high school football is here, which means we're off and running with another year of high school sports, which means high school basketball and college basketball will be forthcoming not too far behind that. So a lot of stuff coming up here. Glad to see another year get started. Look forward to the football season. Really look forward to the basketball season. Going to have a lot of fun things to cover and a lot of fun things to talk about. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. Glad to have you with us for this Friday show. Don't forget, still ahead, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We'll talk a little recruiting. We'll talk IU basketball. Then Kyle Dedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk a little more recruiting, some high school football, and some basketball stuff as well. A lot of things coming up in this hour you don't want to miss out. We're glad you're with us. And a reminder to you, tonight at 5 o'clock, flip us on. We'll have Little League Baseball New Albany in a semifinal game again tonight, taking on Munster. Very good Munster team. The winner goes to the state championship game at 8 o'clock. I can promise some good baseball coming your way later tonight. We'll head to a break. Be back with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call after this on a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we are back here on this Friday show, the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Glad to have you with us. And if you're a regular listener, you know on Fridays we have the opportunity to talk with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, a segment always dedicated to IU basketball. Jared, I'm about halfway through the latest edition of Assembly Call Radio. The title of this latest show, The Three Biggest Challenges Archie Miller Will Face in year two at Indiana. Do you care to give listeners who might want to check that out as well a little preview of what those challenges might be?
Yeah, you know, I think they're challenges that I think most Indiana fans are going to be are going to find pretty obvious. And you know, the first one is one that I've had a lot of conversations about and that people have been asking a lot about, which is, you know, you look at last year and, you know, I think we all know that roster had issues, and we talked about that as we went through the season, you know, kind of missing pieces, and, you know, you're in a situation where a guy like Freddie McSwain is playing more minutes than you ever would have imagined. And now you go into this season, and Archie Miller has a roster with 14 guys who all probably right now legitimately think they're going to play an important role on this team. And they're, you know, talented enough to do it. You know, they all have the skills to do it. And yet we know that that's not going to be the case. And so I think, you know, this is by far the most talent Archie will ever have coached and certainly the deepest roster that he will ever have had as a head coach. And so I think one of the big storylines to watch as the season goes along is, you know, who ends up being in the rotation, you know, and whose role kind of gets, you know, maybe cut out a little bit as the season goes along, who ends up needing to redshirt, you know, who are the guys that aren't playing as much as they think they should be, and how is that handled? How is that communicated? How does that potentially impact team chemistry? All of those things. So, you know, it's not to say that the expectation is that they'll go wrong, but there are certainly stumbling blocks that Archie will have to deal with. And I think he certainly has the experience in his past being at big programs like Ohio State and Arizona to kind of know how to handle those situations. And so I think there are plenty of reasons to feel good about that. And then I think the other one is, you know, this would be the first time that he's had to manage a one-and-done talent in Romeo Langford. And that is obviously a unique coaching situation. And so how does he navigate that? And I think one thing that will be in his favor there is that Romeo seems like a low-maintenance basketball player in terms of he just seems kind of no-nonsense, wants to go play, wants to win, certainly understands his importance as a go-to guy and understands how good of a scorer he is, but isn't known as a ball hog. I don't think he will do things that will impact, you know, other people getting their opportunities. And so I think, you know, that is something that will be a challenge, you know, but maybe won't be too difficult. And then I think, you know, the third challenge is just expectations are going to be higher this year. You know, last year, it's the first season. I think people knew the limitations that roster had. A lot of times we would come on the postgame show and talk about, well, you know, looks like these guys still have to unlearn some of the bad habits they picked up under, you know, the previous coach. All of that stuff's going to be gone now, you know, and it's not to say that after one season a coach is able to fully put his imprint and his fingerprints on a program, but, you know, this is now Archie Miller's program. And so I think, you know, just, you know, kind of dealing with that and the increased expectations, but he's been around for more than a year now. I think he understands the lay of the land. And again, this is not his first time around at a big program. So they're challenges, but by no means do I think they're challenges that he won't be able to overcome. And in fact, I think the way that he has pretty much done everything he has said he was going to do since he got here and been so organized and the preparation that he's had for this role, I think there are a lot of reasons to feel confident about Archie's ability to navigate these challenges in his second year.
Jared Morris, the Assembly Call. My guest, Jared, is with us every Friday. What are your expectations for IU basketball for next season? I know that we're still a long way from the start of the season. There'll be a lot more information to come out between now and then. We'll learn a lot more about the college basketball landscape in general. But as we sit here with what we know, and you host Assembly Call, you come on our program, you write about IU basketball, where are you at with what this team maybe could get done this coming season?
expectations are, you know, they're always kind of a tricky thing to do this far out from the season because there's so much that can happen that could change those expectations in the interim. But I think in general, what seems fair and reasonable to me to expect, you know, given where the program has been the last couple of years, given what we all think of the roster right now, I think it's fair to expect this Indiana team to be competitive in the upper echelon of the Big Ten, you know, so to be a top four, top five team in the Big Ten, depending on how everything shakes out. And, you know, to be in mid-February feeling like you have a legit shot to maybe win the Big Ten title if you finish strong, and then to make the NCAA tournament. And I think if you go beyond that and if you start saying they've got to make the Sweet 16 or they've got to make the Elite Eight, you know, that's all well and good to say, but so much about the tournament is going to depend on, you know, who's healthy at that time, what kind of matchup you get. You know, I think what we want for Indiana basketball moving forward is to pretty much feel like making the tournament every year is, you know, an expectation. Like we feel comfortable expecting that going into the year. And then you get good seeds year after year after year, so you have a chance, you know, to hit it and make a run. And, you know, some seasons you're not going to go as far as you want to, and other seasons you're going to go further. But I think for this year, the second year, just based on the layout of the Big Ten and I think what Indiana has coming back, I do think it's fair to expect them to compete at the upper levels and then just get back in the tournament. It's been 2 years since we've been there, so it certainly will be nice if they can make a deep run, but I think just getting back, being part of that mid-March basketball, and then hopefully, you know, having a good seed and being able to make a deep run is something that happens.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call, my guest, talking IU basketball for the upcoming season, which is still a number of months away. We are getting closer to August, but still some time between now and that Hoosier Hysteria practice and, of course, the start of the regular season. We have talked each week, and this has been common each day, really, on the show, about players for next season. And a lot of times the discussion may be spurred by one of the videos that comes out from IU basketball. I saw another video yesterday with Deron Davis and Juwan Morgan acting crazy and having some fun and interviewing, of all people, Scott Rowland, the new IU baseball recruiting, or assistant coach, I should say, which was a lot of fun to watch. But with that being said, with the videos and with all the tweets that Cliff Marshall has sent out that tell unbelievable improvements and Justin Smith's leaping abilities, set a basically an NBA combine record, I think tied a combine record. There's a lot to factor in when you think about what has happened in the offseason, but who's an overlooked player? Maybe a player that you haven't thought much about, we haven't talked about when you joined us, someone that we're not talking a lot about, we're not seeing a lot from right now, but may have an opportunity to work themselves into a pretty key position with the team next season.
That's a good question. I think there are two guys that jump to mind. One is Al Durham, who we have talked about in recent episodes. And I think, you know, you saw that he won the championship belt along with Juwan Morgan for, you know, excellence in the offseason program. And I think no matter what Al's role is as a player, and I think he has a chance to have a significant one because there just aren't that many guards, but I think either way, he is going to be a leader, a vocal and emotional leader for this program, because I think he just has that naturally. He just kind of has that personality. And this is, you know, this is still a program that has a lot of, you know, kind of quiet guys, not real vocal guys. And so I think that's an important role that Al is going to be able to fill. And then I think the other guy that jumps out is Race Thompson. And it's really easy to forget about Race because, you know, he's been on campus for a year. He redshirted last year. And so, you know, we don't really know much about him. You know, I mean, we're getting ready to plan our offseason analysis episode on Race, and I mean, we're going to have to go back and watch film of him at high school, and certainly all the reports that you've heard have been positive, but when was the last time that a guy redshirted that you didn't hear really positive reports about his practice contribution? So we don't know a ton about how he's progressed, but I think we know enough, and certainly know enough about how he was regarded as a high school prospect, to think that he could, you know, have a pretty significant role, especially if Deron Davis is slow at all to come back from that Achilles. So tough to know what to expect, but I think he's a guy that, you know, once Hoosier Hysteria starts and once the games start and we get to actually see him play, he's going to be a really intriguing piece to see what exactly he's prepared to bring in his redshirt freshman season.
Jared, along those same lines, we're tracking where Archie Miller and his coaches are at this July. It's been kind of a interesting process, and it is each year to see who they are prioritizing and haven't missed a game of Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks, who play on the same team and are playing currently in Fort Wayne. But it's also interesting in the month of July to see new names that pop up. And under Tom Crean, this is something that I spoke about earlier in the week, but under Tom Crean, a lot of scholarship offers would fly out during the month of July, during the evaluation play, right after it was over. Only a couple times has that happened this month with some new names. Indiana may be watching players, but serious enough at this point to offer a scholarship to. With all that being said, I'm curious, as we sit from afar and watch this unfold and read highlights and see where coaches are at, is there a recruiting target just this month in July that maybe has caught your attention the most? I vote for James Booknight, who really is a new name. As I've read more about him and looked at some of his recent performances in the July month, he's really, I can see, a hot prospect that's gaining interest. So he's kind of caught my attention as maybe filling a void for Indiana if they get serious with each other. And if he makes a visit to campus later this summer or later this fall, for you, is there a prospect you're intrigued in, at least, that you want to see Indiana continue to track and maybe see that recruitment get a little more serious?
Yeah, boy, it's interesting that you mentioned the whiplash-inducing flurry of offers that we would see in recent past, and kind of the contrast to that with how this staff is approaching it. And you know, just I love how they are prioritizing Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks, because if Archie Miller can come in his first 2 years and land 3 5 in-state five-stars in 2 years, that would be an incredible achievement given where this program was in terms of in-state recruiting. I think, you know, the guy you mentioned, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Booknight or Booknight, you know, he's as off-the-radar a guy, really, as we've seen Indiana get involved with, and he's, you know, I think the 115th ranked player in his class, according to 24/7. The composite one has it at, like, 97th, I think. And so he's a really interesting prospect. The other guy that, to me, has been pretty intriguing is Anthony Harris, I believe is his name. And I think he plays for Team Takeover, which is one of the better AAU programs out there. That was Victor Oladipo's AAU program. And there was a really great article about him in the Indianapolis Star. And really, you know, he kind of shared some comments about, you know, just the kinship that he feels with Archie Miller, because they're two really tough-minded guards. You know, when you read about him, he's not the kind of guy whose stats are going to jump off the page from these summer league games. But part of that is because of how much talent he has on the team around him. And so he seems like a guard who really understands how to play with good players, really prides himself on defense, you know, is a tough, physical, well-built player. So really seems like the kind of guy that Archie Miller would love to build, you know, both his defense and offense around. And I think he's ranked somewhere in the mid-50s. So I would love to see, you know, us get a guy like that, because I just think he fits the profile for what Archie Miller wants, you know, wants in guards. So, you know, there are a lot of other, you know, really interesting prospects out there too. But he's one of the ones that's really caught my eye.
Talking with Jared Morris. Jared is with the Assembly Call. You can find out more at assemblycall.com, at Assembly Call on Twitter. A couple quick notes before we let you go. I saw a Sports Illustrated story that gives its picks for the 2020 USA basketball Olympic team. I've always been a fan of Olympic basketball. I've always enjoyed seeing the United States, of course, more recently take its retake, its place on the throne of basketball across the world. And I was glad to see Victor Oladipo, just from Sports Illustrated, this writer's opinion, as one of the 17 names that should be considered. When I think of good stuff, not just good players and not just good memories maybe at Assembly Hall, but when I think of things that are good, and I think representing your country is one of those things that's very good and you should be very proud of. Victor Oladipo, both on and off the court, fits a lot of things that I think should be maybe our requirements for an Olympic team to represent the country. So I know it's a long way off. I know there's a mini camp, I think, this weekend. Not all the players that you would expect to be there or like to be there are going to be there for this, but nonetheless, Oladipo, a name that I hope he gets a shot.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, and you know, you're preaching to the choir when you talk about Victor being the kind of guy that you would want representing the country, you know, playing Olympic basketball. And I think he's the kind of guy that, you know, when you look at how you're constructing rosters like that, you know, it's an all-star team. And so you have to have guys who understand their role you have to have guys who bring unique things. And I think you really want guys that you can bring in off the bench and that you know are really going to defend at a high level. And so, obviously, in a situation like that, Victor would be playing a different role than what he has on the Pacers. You know, wouldn't necessarily be the lead dog, the alpha dog like he is for the Pacers. But he's a guy who's always been pretty good at understanding his role. And even if he's not a focal point of the offense, is a guy who's going to make things happen defensively because of his ability to get after it and get steals, you know, and get out in transition. So he really seems like a guy who, you know, from an intangible standpoint, from a teammate standpoint, and then from some of the specific things that he brings, would be a really good piece to have on a team like that.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call with us Fridays in segment number two. Jared, great job. Always enjoy our chats, and we'll talk again next week.
Sounds great. Have a good weekend, Matt.
All right, we'll head to a commercial break. Don't forget, coming up later today, some of these prospects we're mentioning, including both James Bouknight and the player that Jared mentioned, will be in action on ESPNU starting later today at 4:30 in semifinals from the team, from the 8 tournament taking place out in Vegas. Anthony Harris and James Bouknight, Harris with Team Takeover, Bouknight with the PSA Cardinals, both in action later today. If you want to get a look at some of these players up close and personal, as up close and personal as you might get this month, it's a great opportunity to do so. So don't forget about that. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star as a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison rolls along here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back for this segment with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, who is always with us on Fridays here on the show. And Kyle, I was looking, 3 weeks from today will be the opening night of high school football across the state of Indiana, which means the high school football season is here and means the high school calendar, the athletic calendar, getting underway. And, you know, when it gets started, boy, it goes pretty quick.
Absolutely, yeah. The practices all get started for real next week, although, you know, any more the way the calendar is, these football teams have been practicing, you know, basically, you know, throughout the summer, with some exceptions here and there with, you know, weeks they have to take off. I think you'll find that it's a little bit different than back in the day where you kind of show up to the first practice and everything's a little bit new and everybody's had the summer off, so to speak. But now it's a little bit different. These teams have been together and been practicing together and, you know, doing some scrimmages and whatnot. So, they can kind of hit the ground running when things get going for real on Monday.
Kyle Neddenrip, Indianapolis Star, joining us. Kyle, again, with us every Friday on the program. Lots of basketball, lots of high school sports, always on the docket when Kyle is with us. Kyle, big month as far as basketball recruiting goes. We basically nonstop have been tracking where Coach Miller's at, where the IU assistants are at, how some of the top targets are performing. Some new scholarship offers have come out over the last week or so that Indiana now interested in some other players as well. But with you, I wanted to focus in on some of the topics that we talk about the most. That's players like Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks, who has been injured for a portion of this July, and other key in-state players. There have been some guys in Indiana, and while someone like Trace Jackson Davis has had lots of recruiting interest now for a number of months, he may add some scholarship offers this month, but there have been a number of players in the state that maybe have added offers for the first time or seen new levels of schools get involved, which I think underscore the importance of playing in front of all these coaches at various stops throughout the month.
Yeah, what's really interesting to me is how the, you know, kind of the 2020 class, and then, you know, you mentioned some of the guys that are a little bit maybe off the radar in 2019, or, you know, they're starting to get their first offers for the first time. You know, a guy like DeJuan Jones at Ben Davis, who played really well in the junior All-Star games, is maybe seen sometimes as more of a football recruit. He's a really big offensive lineman, 6'8", you know, 350 or so, but you know, if you've seen him play, very unique on the basketball court, light on his feet, and you know, a guy like that, you know, he's starting to get not only Division I offers, but you know, the MAC, you know, Ball State, Bowling Green, Kent State, they have all offered him here. And you know, DeJuan was supposed to be, we had our super team football photo shoot on Wednesday, just 2 days ago at Tech, and we always get a really good turnout for that. I think we had 32 of our 35 there. He was one that was missing because he's playing out in Vegas in the AAU tournament out there, and so he is, you know, kind of become a guy who, you know, has not only Ball State offering football and other football programs interested in him, but he's got some opportunities now as in basketball. So, you know, we all know about Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks, and you know, those are guys who are, you know, there's obviously a ton of interest in those guys, and their recruitment will you know, be a big story clearly. But I'm always curious with guys like that, like, you know, like DeJuan, who you know, he's kind of been off the radar now, you know, starting to get that Division One, those opportunities, and some of the 2020 guys too. You see, like Anthony Leal of Bloomington South, or you know, DeAndre Davis at Lawrence Central, Nigel Pack of Lawrence Central just got his first Division One offer. He actually picked up a couple of them from Southern Illinois, and he got one other one, Miami of Ohio. So you know, guys like that who, you know, maybe have been a little bit recruitment hasn't been as loud as people like Jackson and Brooks, but our Division One players, and now we're starting to see them have some opportunities come forward. So, and those are guys still, you know, 2020, you're still a little bit younger, but you know, the guys like DeJuan Jones, I'm glad to see he's getting some interest now.
Talking with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, and if someone doesn't remember DeJuan Jones by name, the Ben Davis player you just mentioned, if they were at the junior-senior all-star game back in early June at New Albany, he had a terrific outing in that Wednesday night scrimmage against the Indiana All-Stars. Very personable, and trying to think of a good way to describe him, very outgoing, maybe a fun guy to watch for sure.
Yeah, he's a, you know, I had a chance to get to talk to him a few times, obviously covering them, and he's not only unique in just watching him. I mean, I think people just are drawn to watching him play because he is so huge, massive guy, and then, you know, the things he shot, I think he shot about 75% from the field because most of his shots are just right there at the basket, and he doesn't try to do more than he can do, and he's still relatively new. You know, he's been playing basketball, but he hasn't maybe played a ton of AAU and just got doing that here the last couple of years. And he's just a really neat guy, neat character. He was kind of mentored a little bit by Aaron Henry over there, who's at Michigan State now, and those two kind of have a funny relationship. So, yeah, just he's a neat kid, so I'm glad to see some doors are opening for him. And he really is a specimen on the football field too. He stands out and does a nice job for that team. So he's going to have some opportunities to do multiple things when he gets to school.
One of the things that July always allows at least me the opportunity to do is pay attention to some of the younger players in our state. Obviously, Indiana going to be involved, you can bet, with the best players in each class. But also, I'm always curious with the Romeo Langford class of 18, with how talented that class was, a number of players going on to play high-level basketball. Of course, Romeo led the way for just really an unbelievable run there of 4 years of high school basketball. Below him, you've got Trace Jackson Davis, Keon Brooks, a number of other guys that IU is interested in, guys that are being recruited on a national level, not just by schools in the state or Midwest. I'm always thinking ahead, what's next? What's the 2020, the 2021, the 2022 classes look like? Is there a class forthcoming in the future, whether it be 1, 2, or even 3 years down the road, that you're excited about? Or do you think we should enjoy this 19 class and, of course, the 18 class that are now incoming freshmen for what they brought to the table, because we may not see that much talent again for a while?
Well, that's always it's an interesting discussion because, you know, talking to people who cover this and you know, and I don't get into those conversations quite as much because I always hear people say, well, yeah, gosh, this class, you know, whatever class it is, just it's not as good as you know, 2012 or, you know, whatever, 2008 or whatever the case may be. I guess it was 2007. That was the class that was really good with Gordon and all them. But you know, but then, you know, it always comes, it always seems to be the case where it ends up being better than you thought it was going to be. And I know there's some people down on the 2020 class and even the 2021 class. And I just think it's, and granted, there's not, you know, probably in that 2020 class especially, there's not the big star power at the top, which I think, you know, that can be viewed as maybe saying, okay, well, this class is down some. And I would say, too, the depth maybe isn't quite there yet, but I would give it time. You know, I'm always a little bit, especially with big kids, you know, those guys develop later. They may not stand out now, but if if you got the frame, then you're going to, you know, hopefully at some point put it together. Those guys always come along later. So, you know, try not to, as I get older, I guess you're more patient with stuff like that, where you don't make, statements on a whole class yet. But I would say that 2020 class probably is from a star standpoint, you know, maybe slightly off of others that we've seen, the 2018 class for sure. But I still think guys like, Trey Galloway, mentioned DeAndre Davis, Anthony Leal is a guy that I really like. I think he's going to continue to get better. And then Mabor, the 7'1" player from Hamilton Southeastern, I think, he's got a lot of ability. And so there's still talent there. It's just maybe you don't have the Romeo Langford or the Trace Jackson Davis or Keon Brooks to kind of anchor the class, I guess, is what I'm saying. So, and then 2021, I think, Caleb First, I think he's going to be really good. I don't know what the ceiling is for him exactly. I don't know if he's quite to that top 20 national level or maybe he is. Time will tell. It's too early, I think, to know for sure. But I like the makings of that class. I think there's some really quality players that that could come to fruition, and I'm the jury's out, I think, a little bit more on that class than 2020. So, I guess the answer is we'll wait and see. I would say it's maybe not to the level of 2018 in that class was, but I think I'm usually pleasantly surprised, by the time those guys get to their senior year that, the depth and the overall talent level in the class is usually pretty strong. There's a couple exceptions, in the last decade or so, but I think, normally Indiana puts out a really good mix of guys, and the depth of that 2012 class, that's what really made that class so great. But I think we'll see. 2020, I think we'll end up being okay in the long run.
Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star, our guest. We've talked a lot this week and in recent weeks about Romeo Langford at Indiana. There have been a lot of promotional videos and things of the incoming freshman to keep fans excited. There have been some pieces from national writers that talk about top freshmen and freshmen to watch. And, of course, his name, as expected, has been on all of those lists. Kyle, you covered the Langford recruitment and the Langford story both on and off the court, his stardom on the court, his stardom and the unique things that surrounded him off the court that brought a community and really even Southern Indiana basketball together as close as anyone. And you wrote the material, you broadcasted the material to a statewide audience and even more than that at times. But what are your expectations for Langford? You have seen him up close and personal in his great games. You've seen him up close and personal in some of his moments as a younger player coming into high school basketball as well. What do you kind of have carved out for him that you expect or maybe hoping for him in his freshman season?
Well, I would expect some ups and downs. I think more ups than downs, though. I think he's a unique talent, clearly. But there's also, still a learning process. The thing I really was curious about, and I know it's not necessarily a college game or not like he had been in a college weight room and really preparing for this game, but I thought going down to the McDonald's All-American game, I was just curious to see how he looked on the court compared to some of those other top freshmen and guys who are going to be freshmen, and I thought he lengthwise and just explosion and just being the kind of player that we thought he was, I came away from that really impressed. And I know he's going to be getting to college where you're playing guys who are more veteran college players, so that'll be a little bit different than that McDonald's environment was. But you know, I thought coming away from that, I was like, okay, well, this is, you know, he's clearly is, you know, because sometimes you see him play in a high school level and it's just, he's just at a totally different plane. But after being at that and, you know, seeing him in some other national events, you know, it's pretty clear he's deserving of that, you know, top five ranking or six, whatever he ended up. So I think going into this year, there will be some bumps in the road and some things he's going to have to learn at the college level. Probably as far as just, just getting after it all the time, offense and defense. But I think he's got that in him. I think he's just a talent and a guy who's just different, you know, and I think he's different than most freshmen will be, this year. And as long as he stays healthy and everything, kind of goes how I think it will go, I think he's going to have a really good year, and I think he'll probably be in the NBA after this year. And that's just the way things work these days. But I think he's going to be really good this year. And you know, I try to temper, you know, expectations a little bit because he is a freshman, but he's also a super, super talented guy. And I think he's going to have a really good season.
Talking with Kyle Neddenrip, Indianapolis Star. Before we let you go, I go to Twitter for a final question. Do you want to take a stab maybe at a couple of your thoughts on top high school basketball teams for this winter?
Boy, I'm working on football now, Matt. I think the team that won it last year is interesting to me because they've kind of replenished the roster a little bit with some transfer kids, and that's Warren Central. I don't know that they'll be quite what they were last year. I mean, that's hard to expect that again, but you know, they've got a couple guys coming in who've played at a pretty high level, and then they return some guys and. You know, so I think they'll be interesting. I don't know if they'll be quite what they were. And locally, I would say, you know, Lawrence North to me is a team that, man, their starting five is just, you know, about as good as anybody around. And it's just hard when you have to go through that sectional. So, you know, I think the jury's out on them a little bit. But, man, they're talented. And then, you know, Cathedral's going to be good with Armand Franklin. I think Carmel's going to be really good. They were in the state championship last year, and I think they'll be capable of getting back there again. I think Floyd Central with Kobe Barnes down there will be tough, although they lost some too. So, you know, I don't think that sectional down there will be quite what it was last year, but I would keep an eye out on them. And then, you know, Bloomington South too with Leal. I know they lost Coyle from that team, but you know, they're always obviously very well coached, and you know, they'll be good. And then Center Grove, I think, is probably the team, you know, with Jackson Davis and a lot of their guys, Pierce Field and Nickerson and those guys, they will be absolutely loaded and coming out of a different sectional and then, of course, going to the regional down there at Seymour. So, you know, they'll be a team to watch too. But, you know, those are just a few off the top of my head, and I'm sure I'm missing some in 4A. But you know, now that I think about it, I think Lawrence North, really talented. Center Grove, like their path and their team they've got coming back. And then there are definitely some other teams on the fringes that will be capable of making it there as well.
Kyle Neddenrip, Indianapolis Star, with us Fridays. Kyle, thanks for hanging out for a while. Great information. We'll talk with you again next Friday.
All right, love doing it. Thanks, Matt.
All right, that will just about wrap things up for us today. A couple reminders for you before we get out of here. Number one, don't forget you can podcast the show or a specific segment. If you miss anything, you can log on to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. You can also search us in Apple Podcast. It's a great way to stay up with the program if you're on the go and can't listen to the live show on the radio or streaming online. Also tonight, we'll be back in Indianapolis for Little League Baseball. New Albany's 12-year-old major all-star team is in the state semifinal. They were in a winner's bracket semifinal last night and lost, which means now they have to take on Munster from the bottom side of the bracket. And if they win, waiting for them will be a rematch against Highland Baseball Club from Evansville. Of course, last night we had that broadcast. It was a 9-inning game, playing 3 extra innings in that contest. So I know a lot of people tuning in. We've had some great numbers. Appreciate everybody checking out the New Albany All-Stars. And we'll be back tonight to bring you a semifinal game for sure at 5 o'clock. And if they win, We'll be back at 8 o'clock as well for a doubleheader of sorts as New Albany tries to win a state championship. They've got a 10- and 11-year-old title already this summer. They're going for 12 coming up as well. Also, Lloyd's Knob softball in the 12-year-old regional in Zionsville. They fell to the Iowa team in the quarterfinals yesterday. They had a heck of a run. The impressive thing with that Floyd's Knob softball team is they're all young. A lot of them are young players that will be able to return to this same division for at least another year or two, so they will have some success in their future. I'm sure this was a good opportunity here this year to learn a little bit about what the road in Little League softball looks like for them. Always fun to follow the locals, to follow some of the successful teams out of our area. Each and every year, they never disappoint. We've had some really good ones come out of District 5 down in far southern Indiana. Have a great Friday. Have a great weekend. Again, I'll be on tonight at 5:55 from Indianapolis, Decatur Little League, for that semifinal game in the Little League State Tournament. And if you can't make that or don't want to make that, we'll be back on Monday at 11 a.m. with the Hoosier Report right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Have a great weekend. I'll talk with you soon, tonight or Monday, and we'll catch up then right here on the Big X Sports Radio.